Blog Talk Radio.
To be here with you tonight for the prophetic roundtable. Tonight I've got my brothers on the line, Apostle Prophet Bro, Jeremy Scott. Oh God, we just be going through it lately, brother. We need to talk more often. We've been slacking, and I've got my brother Apostle Dushan on the line. I'm so excited to have both of them on the line. You guys know Apostle Scott Gibson. I want my brother Apostle Dushan to introduce himself tonight really quickly and to let you know where he's fellowshipping right here in the Detroit area. Apostle Dushan.
Good evening. As my sister Crystal said, I am Apostle Dushan Williams. The ministry is located at 1825 Martin Luther King Drive. That's right off the corner of Grand River, right around the corner from Motor City Casino, and our services start at 1 p.m. every Sunday.
Amen, amen. So we're excited to be here tonight. Listen, we've been on the series of the rise of the manifesting sons, and this is an exciting series because this is prophetically where we are in the history of creation. We're on that time, on that schedule where the manifesting sons are set to rise. And so we want to talk about tonight. This has been kind of in my spirit for some years now, and the Holy Spirit's been really pressing me in this season to really have a discussion about prophetic scribes of the kingdom age. We need to talk about the scribes, y'all. We do a lot of talking about prophets. We do a lot of talking about apostles and a bunch of stuff, but there are some components that are necessary even as backup, even as reinforcement for the prophet, for the apostle. And so in this hour, we need to talk about the prophetic scribes. First of all, I want to say this. When we go to Matthew 23:34, it is set and is given, this information is given from the rip. It says, "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets, wise men, and scribes." So it's not just the prophets. It's not just the wise men. The scribes are invaluable. And the very book that we read was penned by the scribes. Those that got it assigned to pen the book before it got in the revisionist hands, before we had all these translations, scribes had to write this down. They had to write it down for us to read. And the original, the OG, the original scribe was God himself because he penned the Ten Commandments with his own hand. I'm trying to tell you, the scribes have a value in this season, and God is calling the scribes in this season. I want to read this to you that God gave me right before I jumped on the broadcast. I'm going to read it to you really quickly. He said, he wanted me to let you know that we need to declare that we are the manifesting sons of God. And we're in preparation, not just for the launch, but we've been conditioned for the countdown of the ages, a moment in time that has never been before in the earth. It's the moment that was prophetically declared by the heavens and sealed by the prophets. Heaven had to swear in angelic hosts, and watchers have been assigned to manage the movement and facilitation of heaven's release in every part of the earth. Messenger angels are, they've been summoned by the heavenly downloads, the eternal and paternal sound patterns that are to be released from the lips of God men in this season, and whom these are the ones whom the eternal Yah has been so mindful to make just a little lower than himself. This is the hour of the manifesting sons of God. This is where we are right now. This is where we are. So we need to talk about this just a little bit. I've got these two men of God on the line. I'm just going to kind of bounce some questions around. First of all, we want to talk about the age that we're in. And I know that both of you are, you know, not just apostles, but you're prophetic and you're prophets. And so I want to just talk to you just for a minute. If you can give me in about 2 minutes just an example of the prophetic age that we live in as God has downloaded it to you. Apostle Jeremy, go ahead.
What I see in this prophetic age currently is I see a lot of adjustment and a lot of posturing and a lot of positioning. And what I mean by all those things is that the prophetic has been around as a new phenomenon in the church for a good 20, 30, 40 years even, but it hasn't taken its rightful position across the board as it should. And because of that, you've got false motives, you've got true motives, and you've got everything jockeying for position. And so I don't see the prophetic as being as clear as the Lord is desiring it to be and as clear as it's going to be. And so it's really in this time for those that have a true prophetic voice and are hearing the heart of God and being led by the Spirit and are not out there for profit to just simply relax but speak what God is telling them to speak and watch the manifestations of what the Lord is doing. That's what I see in this age is we rush and are running around. But especially in America and Western cultures, people are not hungry for it. And so we have to wait and wait for the Spirit of God to direct us and not force the prophetic, but wait for the Lord to open the doors and bring the opportunity, because he will. And it's going to be manifested in the next season in such a powerful way. That's what I'm seeing.
Absolutely. Man of God, Apostle Dushan.
I would have to concur, but at the same time, I believe that there is a hunger, but the hunger isn't for really per se what the job of the prophet is. You have a lot of people that's hungry because they're tired of their situations and they want an answer. And the answer that they want is not necessarily according to the word of God, but it's what can I get from God? And so, therefore, in this season, you have God raising up true apostles, true prophets that's going to be like the prophets of the Old Testament that not only talk about the good things, but talk about the things that you have to change in order to get those things that you're trying to obtain from God. So I believe that this year God is revealing a whole lot of things that a lot of us are hungry for because we're tired of the same old traditional Sunday after Sunday, program after program, churchgoer.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so you've heard it from both of the apostles this evening. Those are both really amazing prophetic positions and absolutely true. And then we've got to understand that the people that are in the church may not be as hungry, but there's a world that's waiting, and the earth is groaning, it's in travail, waiting on the manifesting sons of God. So there is a sort of hunger, and I understand exactly what Apostle Jeremy's talking about, because when you're in the church paradigm, there are a lot of people that just are okay with status quo. I mean, they're okay with the way things have been, but we've got to look at this thing for the whole scope. That's why this is the prophetic roundtable, because you get to see the whole gamut, the whole scope of things as God has given it to us. This is the other thing. When we talk about prophets, we've got to remember, and we talk about this all of the time, that there are prophetic acts as well as oracles. You know, the prophetic oracles are for creating a thing. The prophetic acts, which could include writing, are for forming a thing or establishing a thing. And we've got to understand the power of writing. I want to talk about that just a little bit tonight. There's such a power in writing. I want you to know something, that the adversary knows the power of a writing. He knows it very well. This is why the decrees were so important to kings, because once a thing was decreed, it could not be rescinded. We've been made kings and priests unto our God. And so there's a specific flow, there's a specific sound, there's a specific thing that God is desiring of us in this season, that we will begin to be the oracles, that we will begin to speak a thing, to write a thing, to decree a thing, and to declare a thing, that the earth would not only hear it, but that men would know that this is the position. You know, this is where we are. And so this is important. As I said, that the Father was the first scribe, he was the original scribe. He began to write down the commandments with his very finger, you know, on those tablets. And so it's important. The writing is established once it's written. And you'll notice when you go into a court setting or anything that's a professional setting, there are things that have to be written. You know, without the writing, you can't prove anything. Now, yes, we can say verbal contract. That's wonderful. But something has to be a testament to the fact that this contract is so, and the writing is what seals the deal. Can we talk about the writing just for a minute and the importance and the power of writing from the perspective of, let's just look at when we look at Haman and Mordecai, when we look at that whole thing in Esther, I'm just going to give it to you, Apostle Duchamp, for a minute. Just kind of go with that for a minute and look at that power of the writing and just kind of express that prophetically to the people of God tonight.
If I could simplify it and put it into school terms, you're in a classroom and the teacher gives you a pass, but the teacher, the person that stops you in the hallway when they read the pass, they don't necessarily see the teacher or hear the teacher. But because the teacher has signed their signature on that piece of paper, it gives you leeway to go to a place that the person that signed it gave you permission to. So a lot of times when we write, it gives a person the ability to be able to see more clearly than when you're speaking, because you have people that they learn in different ways. And so you have one that you can tell them something and they can catch it. But then you have those that you can talk, you can talk, you can talk, you can talk, you can talk. But as soon as they see it on the paper, they have the ability to grasp hold of it. And so if you go back to the Old Testament, when the prophet asked permission to rebuild the wall, the king wasn't there, but because he had the papers, nobody could touch him.
Come on, you're right on task.
So there's power.
You're right on task.
There's power.
Absolutely.
There's power in the script. It's just like a doctor. The doctor tells you what it is that you need, and then he writes in his script and sends you to the pharmacy with the script, and the pharmacist gives you according to what's on that script.
Absolutely. Man of God, Apostle Jeremy, that was powerful, Apostle Duchamp. Absolutely.
Whenever I think about scribes, I always gravitate towards 2 Corinthians, where Paul wrote in there and he said, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. He was talking about the new covenant. Most of you on the line should be very familiar with that passage. And so when I think of the scribes, what I always look at is when something's written down, it's meant to kill. And most people take that as a negative, but it's not a negative. Because if you receive a prophetic word, what is the response that you're supposed to give? You're supposed to receive the prophetic word and then write it down, write the vision down so that they may run with it and declare it. So what happens is we receive a prophetic word and we hear it, and that is life. But then we take that word and we write it down. And now any attack against that word, we have a letter, just as everybody has, Apostle Duchamp was just saying, now we have a letter that kills every attack. It's designed to kill the attack. That's what it does. When you walk into court, you present a piece of paper, you present an affidavit that is your testimony. You know, 9 times out of 10, they won't hear your verbal testimony in a courtroom. But if you have a written testimony signed by notaries, or by witnesses before you walk into court, the judge has to enter that into evidence. They don't always have to listen to what you say, but if you have it written down, your written testimony, in fact, they don't generally like to convict anybody unless they have it written down, because then that kills the doubt, that kills any attack or argument against. So when I think of the scribes, that's what I think of. I think of that this is the letter that is written down, and it is designed by the hand of God, and it's under the anointing to kill the attacks, to kill the doubt that comes in, to kill the fear that comes in, to kill all of the things that would dissuade us from the direction and the wisdom of God and what God is calling us to do. That's what that letter ultimately is designed for. Again, going back to 2 Corinthians, when it says that, where it says, we've been made ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. That doesn't mean we get rid of the letter, but we start at the Spirit, we listen to the Spirit, and then we write it down, whereas the children of Israel started with a letter, and they were always struggling to get to a place where they were hearing the Spirit. So they had it flipped upside down. So now we're in this new covenant where we start at the Spirit, and then what the Spirit says, what the Spirit is saying to us, we write it down, and then we can go forth in it. And, of course, we have the letters that have been passed down to us in our scriptures now, so that we can kill some goofiness that would arise. So that's my take on it. I come at it from that place of, you know what, we got to kill the attacks against our faith and fear that would come up and doubt that would come up, so we can be led by the Spirit in everything we do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Amazing man of God. And the other thing is, you know, when we look at this whole thing about the letter killing, you got to understand that when where we have false prophets, where we have false apostles and we have false teachers and all of this stuff, we also have false scribes. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't do the job, because even false prophets do a job. You know, false teachers do a job, but it's the spirit that they're operating in from. And when you talk about the New Testament, we look at the scribes that were always in an attack position concerning the master. He makes this statement. He makes this statement in Mark chapter 12. He says, "Beware of the scribes." Now, he's talking about in one session, in one segment, he's talking about the scribes and the power of the scribe and the writing and all of that. And in another segment, he's talking about to beware of the scribes. But he gives a specific character of the scribe to beware of, just like you may beware or made aware of false prophets and teachers and all of this stuff. He gives the character of who they are. He says, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace." He's talking about a specific character, a specific person. And listen, these are these scribes whom the letter that they had, they possessed the letter, but that letter that was killing, it wasn't killing the right thing. It was killing the wrong thing for them. They couldn't see past the
right,
thing that was written
right,
to understand the unveiling or the revealing of what the Spirit was saying concerning these things. So even when the master was standing in front of them, they were blinded by the letter that they possessed, because they put their own emphasis on it. They put their own ideas in it, you know, which is why they were so adamant about when is the kingdom going to be restored to us. They wanted to see a thing a certain way. They thought it was supposed to happen the way that they saw it, the way that they imagined it. But the Spirit of the Lord had already deposited in the scribe of that day, in the prophet of that day, first of all, to declare it, and the scribe to write it so that it could be actualized in another time, what it was going to be and how it was going to be. This is why they try to discredit the book of Daniel and several other books, quite frankly, the scribes of Jesus' day and the apostles' day. They love to discredit things, and this is where the Talmud and all of this other stuff came from, because they wanted to have their own tradition. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Which is what the Bible mm-hmm. spoke against, the traditions of men and the doctrines of devils. They had to create their own doctrines and their own traditions, because the stuff that was written was too potent for them to even follow, because if they followed that and understood that, then they would recognize that they crucified the very one that was written in the book. The writing is powerful. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The writing is powerful. Let me see. We got 647. I'm going to give Apostle Duchesne some more time on this. I want you to know that the prophet speaks, the scribe records, and there's always a proclamation before manifestation. And so this is why the scribe is so important, because somebody's going to have to chronicle these things that are getting ready to happen in the earth. We know the news is going to be on point. These things are going to be on the news. Holy Spirit told me this some years ago. There's coming a time where the news is going to have to chronicle, is going to have to record. And I know the news is bought and paid for, but they're not going to be able to avoid what's going to happen in the earth. They're not getting ready to avoid, because it's not going to just be pockets. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God, and the knowledge of God is racing through the earth. So they're not going to be able to avoid the happenings of God, the glory of God that's being revealed in every place. And there's going to have to be somebody that's writing this down, that's recording it, that's beginning to discuss it. And then we need the wise men in place, because now they've got to explain this thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They've got to see it in the stars. They've got to see it by the seasons, by the time, the things that God has set in place so that they can begin to reveal those things. Apostle Duchesne, go ahead and share, man of God, for about 3 minutes, some more things that are laid on your heart about this season concerning the scribe and the wise men and the prophet.
Well, first of all, I thank God for you bringing this point out, because a lot of times we don't take the letter at heart for what we should take it for. And a lot of times God speaks things to us and we don't take the time out to write them down. And we have to come to the understanding that when God gives us something, it's not necessarily for us, but for somebody else that's going to come along. And so God may give you a word and it may not sound important, or it may not be special, or it may not even pertain to you. But we should start listening to the Spirit of God within and begin to write these things down. And as we write these things down, then God will come back and God will give us instruction on the purpose and the format that he gave us to write these things down. Because just as you talk about power being in the script, and the purpose of the scribe, I can remember
And I feel so convicted right now because I can remember God giving me things, especially when I was on my hospital bed, things that I should have wrote down that God was giving me. But because of the season that I was going through, I didn't think that it mattered. As a matter of fact, I thought that I would never be able to use what it was that God was giving me. So a lot of things I didn't write down. And so today, as we're talking about this, those that's listening, it's very important that you keep a journal. It's very important that you keep some type of instrument that you can record the things that God is telling you, especially for this season, the times that we're living in, social media. The news is putting fear into people, but you could go back to things that God instructed you to write down that's pertinent to what's going on today. So I would just encourage any man or woman of God that's listening on tonight, please, when God speaks to you, especially in the middle of the night, get up, write down what it is that God is saying to you, because that word that God is saying to you is very important, and somebody needs to hear it. That word that you have can change somebody's life, and they can be one of those that's called to change the world, especially in these end times.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely on target. And I've been really pushing this. I've been a writer my whole life, writing stuff down. I got it from a long line of writers. You know, my grandmother, I pick up her notebooks and stuff. She wrote on everything, and I do the exact same thing. My mother's the same way. And in this season, it's so serious to me. I've written one book, but I've got like 20,000 of them in my belly right now. Every time I have a conversation with somebody, they're like, you should write a book about that. Every time I go into the dialogue, you should write a book about that. I'm like, yeah, it's on the burner. And God is really pressing me in this season. And it's so funny because when the Lord began to deal with me about the scribes, gathering the scribes, I'm saying this to people, and I know people from all different kinds of nations are listening. They're listening from across the water in Syria, in Egypt, in all kinds of places, in Greece, in Italy. Yes. You're listening to me from everywhere, in Africa. They're literally listening all over the world. And I want you to know that God is gathering the scribes in this season. And even though we're not in the same geographical place, we've got all kinds of things that can be done because we're in this age of technology, and we're going to utilize these tools for what they should be used for. But there's a mandate right now in this season. There is a clarion call. Somebody has to release the writings. And I said, God, I don't know, you know, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? I said, I've only written one book. He said, that doesn't matter that you've only written one, because it's so much in you already. I need you to gather the people. I need you to gather the scribes. I need you to pull them together because there's a work to be done. And so he gave me a vision. And so I wanted to instruct you tonight. Listen, the way that you can get in touch with me is kingdomambassadors247@gmail.com. You need to shoot me an email or shoot me a DM in my Facebook box. Let me know that this thing has reached you tonight and that you recognize that God has a mandate on your life for writing. There's some things that have to be chronicled. There's some things that have to be written. There are some things that God has deposited to you, some downloads, some supernatural downloads that must be released. And there's a gathering together of the scribes in this season, just like the wise men gathered. God has instructed me to gather the scribes in this season because there's a takeover. There's a forceful takeover. Listen, even with this scribe thing, let me tell you something. The power of the writing, God gave me this thing. He said, listen, there are some territory that you're only going to take by writing.
Yes.
There's some territory. You know, marketing is a real place, and I don't take it lightly that I was raised to do this. I don't take it lightly that this thing was deposited in me and that I got to travel the country marketing for major Fortune 500 companies, doing all kind of stuff. And marketing is one of my areas. I'm anointed to market some things. And this gospel must be marketed. It must be published. The name of the Lord must be published. And God has made deposits in his people in this season that have to be released. These things, he's coming for this withdrawal in this season, and we've got to be able and be ready and be willing to release the thing that God has deposited in its full form tonight. And so I want you to hit me on the email, kingdomambassadors247@gmail.com. We're going to pull together some things, and I'm going to do some private scopes and some private Facebooks and some things. We need to come together in this season because there are some things that God wants to release, even from the internet perspective. There are some things that we've got to do. I need coders. I need computer coders. We got work to do. This is a real place for me. We've got work to do. Apostle Jeremy, I know you got something to say. You can take that whole, that same thing that I gave him and take a few minutes, because I'll just keep rambling to the end of the program. Because this thing is, I'm in a real place right now about these scribes. I'm telling you, I'm in a real place.
You know, it's to me, what I wanted to finish up with, the thing I was meditating on, is if we would find the balance within it, we would find the balance within the spoken word and the written word, what we say and what we write down, and we understand that balance against looking at 2 Corinthians, talking about the spirit gives life, but the letter kills. If we would understand that balance, you know, a lot of people look at that and they say, well, if the letter kills, then what's it? No, no. We eat all the time. Even if you're a vegetarian, something had to be killed. I mean, even if you're killing broccoli, it had to be killed in order to put on your plate for you to eat. So death is a part of life. It's a constant experience of both. And so if we would begin to understand, because in a lot of churches, they either swing one way. Either you got one place that's so about hearing the voice of God, and you can see by the fruit that those places get out of balance and they're not actually hearing anymore. They're hearing other familiar voices. And then you got other places that don't want to hear the voice of God at all, or very little, and so they're just stuck with the letter, and so all that comes out of there, because the letter's nature is to kill, all they're talking about is death. You know where you go if you die? Well, how about if I live 50 years? Well, I live it in purpose in a relationship that has meaning and fulfillment, because I'm walking in what God has called me to walk in. So there's a lot of imbalance that we need to correct, and we can only correct that by the leading of the Spirit. But that's one of the passions of my heart, is getting people into a place of balance and understanding the purpose of the scriptures and the purpose of the voice of God and the purpose of the prophets and the purpose of the scribes and the wise men, and understanding how to do all those without leaning too far. I know it was even King Solomon who said it's good to be balanced and not to be overwise. And you would think, well, that's kind of strange, but that's what he said. It's not good to be overwise. He even said it, too much studying wearies the soul. So we have to be in a place where we're balanced, where we're listening to the Spirit of God to know when to relax and when to run with all of our might. We got to know that stuff, and we got to know it by the Spirit of God. That's what I was hearing in my spirit to finish up tonight.
Absolutely. Amazing, amazing. I'm telling you right now, if you're not lit on fire by now, if you've not been charged up, if you don't recognize that this was a prophetic roundtable to shift you into your position tonight, then you are lost, and we need to pray some prayers to bring you back. We need to resuscitate you tonight, because I'm telling you, I got a fire in my belly in this season about this writing. I have been off my writing. I had started on the next book, Apostle, and I think I had read you just a little bit of that beginning, and everybody that I've read it to was just so amazed at what God was saying just in the introduction. It was just amazing. And so, of course, the enemy wants to come because he desires to change times and laws. That's his whole purpose. He wants to change. And let me tell you something. There's a narrative that's been written in hell concerning your life. There's a narrative that the powers of darkness have declared over your life, but the blood is still speaking on your behalf. That blood has published your future.
Yes.
It's already set in the heavens and written in the books of remembrance what your victories are, what you're to accomplish in the earth, who you're to be, and what territory you're to take in this season. Man of God, Deshaun, you made this statement about the word not being for you. And sometimes that's just the point. You don't understand the word of the Lord for you in that moment. It might just be for somebody else. And, you know, the prophets, they were excited to look into these things. They were peering into these things like, what is God talking about? What does he mean about this? He said, listen, it's not for you. Keep writing. This ain't got nothing to do with you. Keep writing. You know, even when it came to Moses, he's up on the mount, and God's talking to him, and he says, listen, he says, show me your glory. He said, I want you to show me your glory. He said, I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you, but listen, I can't show you my face. And a lot of people take that as face-to-face with God. They misconstrue that. But what he's really saying is that I can't show you me before now, because that'll kill you. Where I was in my attitude and how I felt about mankind, if I show you that, you can't stay alive and look at that. But I'm going to show you something in the future. And he took him all the way to the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm telling you, God is taking you into your future by allowing you to see some things. And you're going to begin to write them down. And they're going to begin to be unfolded. But the prophet has already spoken it. There are prophets that are ready to orate and to say the things that God has given them, that he's deposited them to say. And you're going to be the one that's going to establish it in this season. Listen, we love you tonight. We thank God for you. Pick up your pen, get you some paper, and get to writing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Get to writing. Write down the things that God has deposited in you in this season. Don't take it lightly. Take God serious. He loves you, and he wants to bring you to a good and expected end. Men of God, tell these people good night.
Amen.
We love you, and God bless you.
God bless you.
Good night. God bless you.